I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning, and welcome to the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is the story behind the story, the truth behind the headlines, the lying mainstream media, and the ridiculous two-party propaganda. This is Central Mississippi's safe space here for independent thinker, and we're going to exercise that today. Next hour, it's Wednesday, so in the second hour of every Wednesday show, we do Hump Day Health here, natural health news you can use, and boy, is it a welcome. It's a welcome break for me this week. I don't know about you. We're going to have Jordan Townsend in here from Naturally You. He's always very informative. This is just, it's just such a good political palate cleanser for me. I was genius. Now, I like the alliteration. You know, like Hump Day Health, those kinds of things. But I put this on Wednesday, smack dab in the middle of the week, in the second hour of the show. I mean, I guess the only way it could be more in the middle is if it was from 9:30 to 10:30. But that didn't make sense for programming purposes. But it's right here in the middle of the week when I'm just getting exhausted with political stuff, and I want something refreshing and something positive to talk about. And today is no exception to that. I'll be happy to take the break. Stay tuned for that if you like the political talk. This is something that can actually help you, and we discuss ways to optimize your health. None of this stuff, other stuff matters. If you're not feeling good, it just doesn't matter. So anyway, Jordan Townsend, Naturally You'll be in next hour, and I'm looking forward to that. Stay with us. So what can I say that has not been said? Well, I'm going to say a lot. This is when I think that this show really kind of shot. I cheered for the Republicans, said I wanted the Republicans to maintain the House. I saw this crazy left-wing, hysterical, social justice, Antifa movement, and thought, there's no way. There's just no way. Now, there was not a blue wave yesterday. It was a little bit more of a blue ripple, but it was enough, wasn't it? Now, what I learned about Mississippi was most interesting to me is that Mississippi has largely been known as an agricultural state, right throughout our history. Cotton, soybeans, we grow a lot of crops here, great farming community. Also do a lot of animals. We do a lot of catfish, you know, Mississippi known the world over. A lot of catfish farming here. A lot of chickens. I used to sell a lot of, I used to sell industrial clothing into the people that stored frozen foods and coolers and stuff. I did a heavy quilted clothing for people. So I would get around the state and I was always stunned by the amount of chicken processing we have. And there's good cattle farmers out there. But I got to say, we can add to that sheep and rhinos. Mississippi, full of sheep. Now, this is going to be insulting to some people, probably. I apologize for that. But we, as I searched the airwaves for weeks looking for the mythical Cindy Hyde Smith voter, apparently she is out there. And people have taken another spoon-fed candidate and run with it. I kind of blame Trump for this. I don't know. Trump said vote for her. Okay. You know, the establishment has picked another Mississippi senator for you, like they do every single time. This is the most depressing thing of the election. We'll get on to the national stuff, but on the Mississippi level, I got to tell you, it's pretty depressing to me that Mississippi cannot get hip to this game, and by such an overwhelming majority. I guess the polls that we saw were correct. So what do we think about polling now? Is polling, are we back on board where polling is all right? Or it's just, I think what everybody will settle back into is the polls that we agree with are right, and the polls we disagree with are wrong. We'll just keep playing that game. But that's a very depressing defeat for Chris McDaniel yesterday for what it says for Mississippi, as far as I'm concerned. One of the first things I thought when I saw that, to be honest with you, one of the very first things I thought, I said, well, now I understand why we stay at 50th in a bunch of stuff. Mississippians lack any imagination. They lack any real independence. It's a herding mentality here. It's a captivation waiting for leadership to do something about where we are. Now, this is not probably not exclusive to you as a person or to people independently. But as a state, I got to tell you, a state that I love. I love Mississippi. I've been here most of my life. Wasn't born here, but I've been here for long enough that I am just a Mississippian. And to watch, if it had been close, I wouldn't be this morose about it. And it's not about whether, and here's the funny thing now. This is the problem with this two-party game that I point out constantly, where everybody else cheerleads for the Reds or the Blues or wherever. You get your political radio where it's always, you gotta be with the team. And I sit here above that fray and just kind of laugh at the absurdity of it. Now, here's the beauty of the two-party system to the leadership, to the elites that control this. And Mississippi just rolled over like a sweet puppy and exposed their belly to the establishment in Mississippi and said, we'll do whatever you want. Just give us a rub on the belly. See, what they'll do now is, let's say they've got you. What do you want, a Democrat? McDaniel fans, you got to get out there and vote for Cindy Hyde-Smith. Now, I understand there's some logic to that if you want more Republicans in the Senate in Washington, D.C., but they are just laughing their way to the bank. See, they told you for a while there that Chris McDaniel, you couldn't vote for him because he couldn't beat Espy. I heard this a lot from people. I'm voting for McDaniel, but I don't know if he can beat Espy because the Republican machine in Mississippi put out the talking points. He can't beat Espy, and I pointed this out many times. That means the establishment said you either vote for Cindy Hyde-Smith or we're staying home and we'll just let Espy walk with it. See, we won't support Chris McDaniel. But now that they've got their candidate in, they're going to guilt you into getting to the polls and making sure. They're going to tell you it's vitally important that you get out there and stop Mike Espy. You've got to be with Cindy Hyde-Smith. If the roles had been reversed, they wouldn't have come to support. If you were a McDaniel supporter and McDaniel was in the runoff with Espy, they wouldn't support that. They'd stay home. And this happens across the establishment board. You had people like George Bush's family voting for Hillary Clinton because they didn't like Donald Trump. And this is where they've got you. It's just this, it is a sick little crack they've stuffed the American people into. And it perpetuates this system. I've heard callers talking about third-party spoilers around the country. Oh, we can't do this. Unfortunately, we may not like it, but it's a two-party system. Well, you just keep playing this game, because look, how many victories have the Republicans had where they've delivered basically nothing? Outside of some tax cuts, and I'm all for tax cuts. Of course, I'm against the government picking our pockets for any money and then just wasting it on whatever they want to waste it on. But that's a little too independent for most people. Most people want to be want to just go along to get along. Don't want you to touch our guns, but you can have a third of my income if you want it. See, I'm just a much more independent person, and I understand that I'm different than a lot of people. I don't want other people picking my candidates for me. I'm not going to vote for something where even if I win, I lose. You know who won yesterday? The lobbyist. I made that prediction yesterday because they always win. See, things won't really change. The system won't change. Yes, we had a change in the House, and now the Democrats will be in control, which is a big ugh to me because I have no desire for the next 2 years to be covering every little tit and tat between Maxine Waters and Donald Trump or Nancy Pelosi and whoever. I have no desire to do that. I'm going to have to wrap my mind. But I don't really get into that stuff here anyway. I try to get to some real news, things that really matter. I try to expose listeners to this show, to the way the world really works. And all that stuff is just surface party noise, just propaganda, just garbage, just trying to rally bases and score political points. Let me just ask you something. When you voted for Republicans, they're telling you right now, get in the camp, get on Cindy Hyde Smith's side. You've got to do this. Now, I'm just asking you, over the last 50 years, if you were to do an independent diagram, a graph of the success of the United States and the behavior of the government over the last 50 years as a total, knowing that sometimes Democrats have been in control, sometimes Democrats have had a president, sometimes Republicans have been in control, sometimes it's been a Republican president. With all of those things over the last 50 years, and particularly really over the last 20 years since we got into 2000, which way would that graph go? Republicans have had plenty of opportunities. We've given them the keys to the kingdom. Oh, but giving them the keys to the kingdom this time will really work. What did you get out of the last 2 years? Outside of what you might think that Donald Trump has done, out of the Republican Congress, oh, we got some tax cuts. Spending increases and tax cuts. What you got was a loan on your children's head. And now you're going to be rallied up to – and look, I understand there's Supreme Court justices. There's the judiciary to think about. There's reasons to keep the Supreme Court – I mean, to keep the Senate strongly in Republican hands. You can make that argument. But it is like we are seriously – it's like everybody gets exercised. Even when you win, you really don't win. You don't get what you think you're going to get. And I can tell you right now, say goodbye to the wall. What happened? What happened there? Where's the wall? You think it's going to happen in the next 2 years? So now everyone's going to pin their hopes that maybe in 2021 they'll get a wall. I got to spend the next 2 years really digging in and supporting Donald Trump, and we're going to get him reelected. And let me tell you, I've got some more. There's actually some good news about what happened yesterday that I'll point out. But there's actually some bad news. I believe that this election cycle yesterday was as good as it was going to get for the Republican Party. 2020 is going to be much, much more difficult than yesterday was. Much more difficult than yesterday was. There's a little silver lining to that. We'll get to that when we come back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No bad. No wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, so I guess what conservative radio show hosts are supposed to do on a day after a day like yesterday is you're supposed to immediately come on air and start polishing this turd. I'm supposed to tell about all of the great things. Now, if you woke up this morning and you didn't turn on the news, you went to bed early, election returns weren't in, you went to bed early, and you just woke up and you just read Trump's Twitter feed, you'd think that Republicans swept. Trump tweeted out, tremendous success tonight. Thank you to all. Received so many congratulations from so many on our big victory last night, including from foreign nations, friends that were waiting me out and hoping on trade deals. Now we can all get back to work and get things done. I've got a Fox News clip I'll probably play. You can tell I'm lacking a little bit of energy here because here's the thing, man. Republicans went into yesterday in this supposed booming economy. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't think that this rising tide has lifted all boats. That's part of the problem. Now, that is not Trump's fault. We have systemic problems within our economy. Now, these are exacerbated by things that long precede Donald Trump, things like the Federal Reserve that we don't want to get into because that requires too much thinking. It's too academic. We don't want to get into things. We don't want to get into the real problems. We just want to look at the headlines, Mike, and take those. But in this supposed booming economy, Trump's popularity ratings at some of their highest, at least at around 50-51%, this was as good as it was going to get for Republicans. I hate to tell you, by the time 2020 comes, we'll see if I'm right or wrong, but I'll go ahead and tell you right now, by the time 2020 comes, we will be in a significantly different economy, a significantly different stock market. I mean, there are already cracks showing. The chances of growth now, they're cutting growth expectations and profit expectations going forward. After a couple of quarters of tax hike stuff and pulled forward demand because of tariff threats, I don't know you're going to see the GDP numbers that you think you're going to see. Now, I could be wrong. I'm prepared to be wrong. Always prepared to be wrong. But this was as good as it gets for Republicans. What are they going to do going into 2020? Short of Donald Trump changing his tone almost entirely. Now, the problem now he has, if he changes his tone, is that that means that is he going to get along with Democrats? Okay, so here's a couple of the silver linings. The one thing is that maybe there's going to be a little bit of blame to be placed on Democrats when the economy tanks, when we go into a recession. Now, for those of you thinking, well, we're not going into a recession, that this is the greatest economy we've ever had, I've read the headlines to you last week. All of the best headlines and all of the best economic numbers come right before a recession. And the fact of the matter is we're in one of the longest recoveries ever. Now, it was anemic, so maybe it's kind of natural that it stretches out a little bit longer because it wasn't as robust as normal. But look, we're in just about record. It may be the longest bull market run. Now, just think in intellectually in this thing. It's take away your support for Trump and what you think he's doing for the economy. If you were faced with the law of averages, and someone told you this is the longest one ever, would you say, well, it's going to go even longer? Or is it a chance that we slip into a recession? Again, and these things are not of Trump's making, but it's going to be laid around his neck. He might be able to say, look, heading into the midterm elections, everything was booming. And then we got our Democratic House, and look how things fell apart. That's the silver lining. There's a possibility that that might work to a small degree. But this was as good as it was going to get for a Republican Party. I ask again, with a booming economy, why didn't they just run the table? So I'm here to put a lipstick on a pig. There will be people who make the, well, you know, this will be a comparison that you hear too. The number of seats that were lost last night doesn't compare to the number of seats lost during Obama's first midterms. Well, here's the problem with that. Obama was presiding over a horrible recession. People were really suffering out there. They wanted something different. Now, the recession wasn't Obama's fault. The recession in 2001 wasn't George Bush's fault when he just got in there. But the reason so many seats changed under Obama was because we're in a bad economy. We're supposed to be in a great economy now. Why would people want to make a change if things are going so swimmingly? I ask. With my own particular answer. Donald Trump fired up the Democratic base. There were probably people out there that were so consumed with hate. Now, this is largely driven by the media and the Democratic Party. It's not entirely Trump's fault, but I believe he fed it. I believe his engagement in the battle. And something just hit me, too. There was a lot of talk about, after the midterms, all of the things that were going to shake out in Washington, D.C., that we just needed to get past this point. Is that dead? Is the deep state still going down? Is the swamp about to be drained for real? And how is that going to happen when you've got a Democratic Congress? You understand what I'm saying here? This is why this is really kind of sad to me. It's I think a big opportunity has been squandered here. And I think it's been done for kind of petty reasons. I think the people that support this fight and the language and the trolling, essentially. I know it's entertaining. I say that all the time. I get it. But I said leading into these midterms, was it effective? What do you want to be the result? Is this the result that you wanted? So I'm supposed to come on here and polish this turd. I'm supposed to be the one who comes on here. And conservative radio, I'm sure that as I watch Fox News tonight, they will explain why this is a victory. Now, one of the things I'm seeing, too, is that a lot of moderates were washed out of the Republican Party. And that's a victory for Donald Trump. People that were on board with his agenda won, and people who were not lost. And that there's something to be said for that as far as Republicans go. I had thought at first there was another silver lining, that the gridlock typically will slow spending. And as somebody who is just disgusted by the way that Washington, D.C. spends the money of future generations, we should all be so ashamed of that. Most people couldn't give a crap. As we spend the money from, but what's going to happen? I believe it's Donald Trump going to actually veto any of these bills, any of these spending bills that come. I have a feeling that no. Has there already been an announcement, I think, on infrastructure? It is the one thing that is bipartisanly agreed to. Here's the problem. They're going to spend $1 trillion on infrastructure, but they're not taking that money from anywhere else. They're just adding it. You know what that infrastructure bill will do? It'll add to GDP. It'll add to jobs. Everything will look rosy on the top, and all we're going to have to do is borrow $1 trillion from our children and our grandchildren to make it look good for us today. And most people will go right along with this. I mean, this show, like I say, I mean, I know I'm swimming upstream here on conservative radio. But the fact is, people just don't deal with it in reality anymore. So enamored by this system and the hero worship of the people and the parties and stuff, that they just refuse to deal with any level of reality. I was surprised to see some of Donald Trump's tweets today. One other thing I'll point out, yesterday, you know, as somebody who constantly points out the failings of a large, massive federal government like the one we have, that has been brought to us by both parties, by the way. Republicans were never a small government party. They tricked me into thinking they were from the mid-90s to really early 90s, I guess, into the early 2000s. But I finally got hip to their game. But there's nothing that says how inept and ineffective government is at just about any level. That includes the more local, the better, because it's more accountable actual to people. When you can drive to your city hall and raise hell, they at least pay a little bit of attention to the public. So the smaller and more local government, the better it is. And I know a lot of these things were local issues, but when you look at the headlines about the chaos yesterday in the elections, you realize the government just can't pull much out of some machine malfunctions all over nations, some missing Tennessee polling sites without power, broken scanners led to long lines in New York City. Again, it makes it pretty easy to be a libertarian, because you can just point to these failures and realize we can't get our voting right. I don't know. If anybody wants to call in, if anybody wants to cheer me up, I'm not the same kind of person. I'm not really that depressed that the Republicans lost Congress. That's not it. I'm much more surprised and disappointed in Mississippi's voting for Cindy Hyde Smith and just rubber stamping another establishment as they continue to exercise complete control over the state. That's really the more depressing thing to me. But it is this idea suddenly that now everybody's supposed to get on that we've got two more years of this ridiculous two-party rancor, and I've got to cover Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi, and I mean, these people are going to be in charge of significant things. And again, I say, how do the Republicans lose those things? In a booming economy with a great president, how in the world do they end on the losing end of this? I got a caller on the line. Hey, caller, are you with me? I can hear you there. Caller, are you with me?
Yeah. Mike, yeah. How are you, buddy?
Good. What's going on?
Well, I see two factors at work here. Tip O'Neill told us in the 90s that all politics are local, and that especially applies to the House of Representatives. And the Democrats focused on their base, and they focused on our unfortunate desire to vote pork into our representatives' pitches. This pork was Obamacare,
yeah,
and health care in general, and it worked. it worked.
Well, it's always a popular strategy to give people stuff. So, yes, that is part of the Democratic playbook. That's true. But, I mean, they've always used that, yet the Republicans have had control of Congress for a while. They've continued to keep Republicans in charge of the House and the Senate for a while. We elected a Republican president. So what's changed in the last 2 years to where that pitch suddenly overwhelmed and tipped it back in their favor again?
Well, there are tax cuts, and there are regulation cuts, but I think the Democrats went out and bought the votes through the scare tactics of Trump and the Republicans are going to cut your Social Security, cut your Medicaid, and gut Obama, and those fears resonated with women with small children or families, this pre-existing condition issue resonated, and when you dust it down, Pogo said it best, we have met the enemy and they are us.
Well, yeah, that's true, and those are pretty, you know, they pretty much do that every single election issue. So I'll just ask you the question. Do you believe that Trump energized the Democratic base?
Let me say this. It is not hard to energize someone that already hates you.
Well, that's true, but do you not feel that he could have done anything over the last 2 years to tamper that hate? I mean, I think the hate it was leading into yesterday was at pretty much record levels on the left. And believe me, I think it's hysteria. It's Trump derangement syndrome, there's no doubt. But you don't see that he played any part in that, that he's just a victim of that, but his tone didn't exacerbate it to any degree.
Well, I mean, we elected him because he is who he is and is not duplistic or clever or manipulative. He says what he says. He says what he believes, and that transparency is winsome to a lot of us. So if he had suddenly turned soft and mushy,
would we have to
appease the those that already hated him?
I don't think it's black and white like that. I don't think you have to either be really hardcore or some kind of soft and mushy and change as a person. But I just think the tone made it so easy for the women on The View and the tweets and all these. I don't think CNN and The View. I think that they would have still engaged in Trump hate. But I just feel like, and I could be wrong, but I just feel like if he did not participate on such a personal level and engage just about every battle, I mean, even in calling Stormy Daniels horse face, it just doesn't seem, that does not accomplish anything to me. And I think we're seeing the results that just did not resonate. It didn't, it charged up his base, but your base is only your base. You know, Kennedy, like I say, Kennedy had a 65-70% approval rating. And it's not he didn't engage in any of that stuff. And I believe Trump could have been a change maker like Kennedy. But Kennedy was a man that went out, he spoke his mind, did what he thought he was going to do, and was really trying to upset the system, taking on things like the CIA, the Vietnam War, the Federal Reserve. I mean, he understood the corruption in Washington, D.C., and he tackled it from more of a business, you know, a calm business tactic. Now, he got killed, so, you know, there wasn't a great success. I'm just really kind of surprised that I'm alone in thinking that even Trump said 2 days ago, in the last 2 years, he wishes he would have changed his tone. And I'm telling you, I think Trump got the Democratic base out yesterday. Now, they would have tried either way, but there'd be a lot of people out there that if Don Lemon on CNN keeps talking about how he hates Trump, but Trump hasn't really done anything to engender that hate. A lot of people would just say, why do y'all keep picking on this man? He's not doing anything. He's just trying to create jobs. There's a lot of good things about Donald Trump that could have attracted a lot more people to his cause. I think he gets in his own way.
Well, and at least you can say he is who he is, and he does not, he's transparent. And yes, I don't know that. There were words that could have been more artfully chosen, but the older I get, the more I realize I'm not going to focus on what people say as much as what they do.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of us that say, let it run off your back like a duck.
I mean,
let's see what he's done for me.
Right, but look at the results of yesterday. Look at the results of yesterday, because the Republican side of things and Trump himself and Trump supporters will say, look at all he's done. Let's look at those actions. Well, apparently the American people looked at those things, but they chose just to hate him anyway, partially because of the things that he says and the way that he says them and the way that he needles the left and all this other stuff. I'm just saying, you know, I hate politician speak. That's not what I'm talking about at all. He could be very matter of fact. I mean, if he wants to build a wall, how hard is it to start having a series of fireside chats where you come out and go, look, people, we got a country to defend here. I feel bad for people that live in, you know, countries that don't have the success that we have, but we cannot have a nation without immigration control. And by God, we need a wall to enforce this so we can treat these people, you know, south of our border humanely and do this. And, you know what I'm saying? Just rise above it.
I do hear what you say, and it is good advice. As I said, those that hate you will jump in front of any imaginary insult they can find.
Yeah, that's true, but I think they would have punched themselves out. I mean, and think about this, too. The Democrats had no message going into this. I mean, their only message. Now, you said all politics is local. That's to a degree, but we've gotten really sucked into this national thing. I mean, I don't know many people who don't say yesterday was a referendum on Donald Trump. I mean, everybody knew they were either sending someone to Washington, D.C. to support or resist Donald Trump. And they chose over, you know, by a majority, they chose yesterday to resist him. And I'm telling you, I just think his language gets in his way. And I think it's unfortunate because he's got some good ideas. Anyway, that's just my take, man. I got to run to a break, running a little bit long.
See you, buddy.
Thanks so much for the call. Bye-bye. All right, running along. Got to take a break. You're right back. If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller, and Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller, and Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com. There was one story out yesterday, or a headline that I saw in wake of these elections, or, you know, so this was actually before the elections, but it's just something that just absolutely drives me nuts. That was this, I think it was Axios did a story about, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and take a call. I'll get to it in just a second. They're talking about democracy. It's a pet peeve of mine. I'll get to it in a second. We got a caller on the line. Hey, caller, are you with me? Caller, are you there?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
Hey.
Yes, I'm sorry. I just wanted to respond to your to the conversation about whether or not President Trump's vocabulary and so forth has influenced the election. I'm speaking from a personal point of view, I guess, but it certainly does or has, I believe, influenced women. We all like to think that we're equal with men, but the truth is that women in the past have not been as rough and tough in the vocabulary and so forth as some men. And it really bothers me and a lot of women I know.
Really?
How Trump speaks. I rationalize it to say, well, he's in construction work. My husband was in construction work. I know how that is and all. But there are some who just really cannot tolerate those. They don't like it. They don't know anything about the issues. But just to make their decisions on the basis of what they hear and what they see on Facebook and television.
Right.
And I believe there's no doubt that it influenced some.
I think so, too. You know, I did poll. There was a poll out, and I think I can quote polls now because polls seem to be accurate again as of yesterday. But there was a poll that showed that in 2016, college-aged women voted Donald Trump plus 6%. 6% more people voted for Donald Trump. That switched in this election. The college-educated women went 13% against Donald Trump, that he had lost favor with them. I think there is a... I think there's a blind spot in the Trump supporter because they're so lost and enamored with his entertainment value and the fact that he says things that they want to say, and that's all fine, but that's not his job anymore. He needed that language to break through 16 Republican candidates to differentiate himself and have a guy that had no qualifications to run for president. I mean no political experience. You know what I mean? He had to break through a lot, and you got to make some noise in this society to break through an establishment system like that. But once he got elected, I think he would have been well served to have changed from a campaign mode to a governing mode,
I agree with that. And I don't know how many votes that he lost or gained because of his of the way he speaks and so forth. But I'm sure some of the women decide that, well, you know, I just can't take it anymore. So
yeah, and I don't know necessarily. I would say he lost that many votes because of it. Uh-huh. Because true Trump supporters, boy, they it's like he said, he could shoot somebody on, you know, in Times Square.
About people who are not really true Trump supporters, they are people that are on, you know, they may or may not be,
right,
depending upon the,
right,
way the wind blows.
But so, I think the other side of that sword is the fact that his language actually fires up his opposition. They were motivated yesterday.
Absolutely.
He got under their skin. He needled them and needled them and needled them, and they went out and voted. They don't know what they're voting for because the Democrats don't have a message. They weren't voting
that's
for
really
anything.
True.
They
okay,
were voting
well,
against
thank
him.
You for listening to me.
Great. Thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe I'm alone in this because it is like I just see Trump supporters that are just blind to this. They are in love with this man and feel he can do no wrong. And I understand feeling like you've got somebody in the White House that will speak the truth. I hate politicians speak where they essentially say nothing. So there's something about Donald Trump that's refreshing. I just believe there's a way to get his point across, garner more support, be a real change agent without having to tweet out with every little celebrity who says something against him. I think the fact that he's going to tweet out about how a baseball manager made a change in the World Series, or he's going to address LeBron James head on, is just a waste of time. And I'm telling you, yesterday, I think that showed he has made such a... He has made this about him. And I know Trump supporters don't want to hear this. It's just I don't quite get it. What do you want? Do you want to be successful, or you just want to have fun along the way and get to needle Jim Acosta at CNN and Democrats along the way? What's the goal? To actually make this country better, or just be able to troll the other side? Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com. All right, next hour, we got Jordan Townsend in the studio. We're going to do Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. I'm telling you, we all need a break. I don't think I'm kidding about this. I'm bordering on introducing a segment. I don't know if it'd be 30 minutes or an hour a week, just like a mental health, but maybe just 30 minutes a week. I've gotten so much out of meditation and stuff, and it does feel to talk about Michael Savage, who was on WYAB from 2 to 4 every day. You know, there is a mass insanity in this country. We're just having this big collective nervous breakdown. We've got people on antidepressants all over the place. We need to chill out. We really, really do. And focus on the things that matter. Now, I try to do that on the show. Anyway, we're going to take a well-deserved break, a well-needed break from politics next hour, and talk about things that you can actually do to optimize your health. And as I say, nothing matters if your health is not there. Before I leave for this segment, though, I wanted to read. There was a shame on Axios, or shame on everybody who does these stories. I can't stand these things. You might have seen these headlines over the last couple of days. Just 51% of Americans said they have faith in the country's democracy, and 37% said they have lost faith in democracy, according to a new Axios SurveyMonkey poll conducted in late October. Why it matters? It suggests that recent political turmoil has caused people to doubt the very foundation of American society, particularly leading up to Election Day. Since October 2016, just before the last presidential election, SurveyMonkey has tracked Americans' view towards American democracy. Yeah, and then it's got to have a link to the poll. We don't have a democracy. We do not have a democracy in this country. We have democratic institutions, and you have opportunities, whether you have things like ballot initiatives, where you actually get to exercise, one person, one vote for an outcome. We have got a constitutional republic, a representative form of government. You know, it's like capitalism. The left just says, oh, capitalism has failed. Look what's happened with capitalism. We haven't had capitalism in a long time. Now, it's not the same as democracy. I mean, we literally don't have a democracy. Here's what Thomas Jefferson said about democracy. Quote, a democracy is nothing more than mob rule, where 51% of the people may take away the rights of the other 49. Now, we definitely have a system where, you know, and it's why people are not happy the Democrats just took over. They're going to take away more of your stuff. You know, I started thinking I may do a whole show on this. What would happen if we just said no? What if they just went in and they said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to undo those tax cuts, and we're going to start charging, you know, certain demographics people 10% more in taxes. What if those people just said no? Can we have the freedom for that? Is that somehow absurd to even say? No, Mike, when the royalty in Washington, D.C. speaks, even if it's a party we don't like, we must honor their decision. If they're going to pick my pocket for 10% more, I must give it up. Now, I understand you do that out of fear of the IRS, another thing that Republicans never seem to get around to really addressing. But what if we just said no? Are we not? We can't do that. Aren't we supposed to have this freedom in this country? I mean, anyway, John Adams said about democracy. John Adams concluded that democracy, quote, never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There never was a democracy yet that did not commit suicide. We do not have a democracy here, and the founders were brilliant for not introducing one here. So people's failure to believe in democracy should have nothing to do with our current political system. Now, people should lose faith in our current political system, not because necessarily of its structure, but because of the abuse of the people. See, we've allowed this D.C. royalty infested with corrupt swamp creatures for decades and decades. And yeah, I'm speaking to you, greatest generation. I'm speaking to you, baby boomers. And I'm speaking to my generation, Generation X. We have allowed this corruption to metastasize. We've not only allowed it, we've eagerly supported it. We've taken selfies with our politicians when they come home. We attend their rallies. We send them our little $25, $50, $100 checks like it matters. It's a rounding error to them. We have facilitated the corruption, and we continue to do it. It's not a democracy. What we have right now is more like an oligarchy. It's not supposed to be that way anyway. Back with Jordan Townsend, Hump Day Health on the other side.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, welcome back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. It is Wednesday in the second hour. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock, we do a segment here, Hump Day Health. We take a break from politics and current events, and we start looking at natural health strategies that you can use to improve your health. Feel better, look better, operate better, function better, perform better. As I say every week, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a biologist. I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a surgeon. I'm not a nothing. I'm just somebody that passionately believes that you can change your health if you do the things that you need to do. If you're sitting around waiting for somebody else to fix your health problems, good luck with that. It's not happening. Just take some common sense steps. Take the information from this show. This show is about you doing your own research, but while I'm not a doctor and don't have any certifications, we got in studio with us, as we do at least once a month, Jordan Townsend from Naturally You, and he is a nutritionist. Jordan, thanks for joining us again.
Always happy to be here, Mike.
All right. You guys have got some work to do. I don't know what y'all been doing over there at Naturally You, but you obviously need to go out and see the people. We got the list again recently of the top 10 fattest states in America.
Uh-oh.
And you are going to find this very, very hard to believe, but at number one was Mississippi. Mississippi, West Virginia. So let's think about this a little bit. Maybe some level of socioeconomically. These are the top fattest states. Mississippi number one, then West Virginia, Arkansas, Kentucky, Tennessee, Louisiana, Alabama, South Carolina, Oklahoma, and Texas. My gosh, that is the sweep of southern states, isn't it?
Just about every one of them, isn't it?
Mississippi, West Virginia, Arkansas, Kentucky, Tennessee, Louisiana, Alabama, South Carolina, Oklahoma, Texas. Georgia's not on there.
Florida's not
on there.
That's really all we're missing. We have the whole SEC on board.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Yeah, that may be why the offensive lines in SEC football, you just can't touch them because we got our boy. You know, they used to be the corn fed boys up in
Nebraska.
In the Nebraska and the corn fed states. This is also a list. When you look at Mississippi, West Virginia, Arkansas, Kentucky, Tennessee, you look at these states, got a lot of poorer populations too. Isn't there a big connection between poverty or just people just trying to get by? I guess what I would come down on this, so many people look at obesity and they look at it as somebody who consumes too much food. They just don't control their eating. But that's not really the full story, is it? Because I look at these things and I say it's not just the South. Some people would say that's all that fried food that you eat down there. Now, that doesn't help anything. But it's the quality of food that poorer people, in order to stretch $50 food budget for a family of four, you get into some garbage foods that mess with your metabolism and just all kinds of functions of the body. So when you look at southern states and obesity, what would you say is one of the causes that it's focused down here?
Well, you said it perfectly, which is poverty is the first and foremost among those, just because most people are afraid. They think that real food is too expensive. That's always the kind of the thing you hear. I hear it from clients all the time. That's what you hear from most people. But if you ever cost averaged it out, it's not more expensive. The problem is it goes bad.
Right.
So they don't want to buy fresh vegetables and fruits and meats and things like that, because if you don't eat them, they go bad and you lose all of your investment.
You cannot get a banana from the store to your house without it going bad. I've noticed this. And that's why the stores only stock green bananas. It's a conundrum. You cannot go to the store and get a banana to eat. Have you noticed this? When you go into the store, the banana is green. And you somehow have to basically stay there at the fruit bowl and watch that banana for about 2 days to try to catch it right at that one ripe moment. I've noticed this. All the times I want a banana, I go in the store, they're all green. I get them home, I put them in my bowl. By the time I realize, oh yeah, I want a banana, I look at it and now it's brown.
Well, temperature's a big part of that too. That's why they try to keep them a lot of times they have the showers and stuff around the fruits and veggies.
So I need to put my bananas in my shower.
Right. Okay. But then, of course, as it stays warmer, it's going to speed up that ripening process as well, which is another reason supermarkets are so cold. They're trying to keep all that stuff from going bad as slow as possible. But yeah, no, the number one thing, especially if you look in the South or any of these probably southern states, we're the highest on what we call food deserts, which is, if you look at the population of Mississippi, one of our biggest issues is we're so spread out. We don't have any real true big metropolitan areas. Jackson, sort of, but even that's not less than, what, I think, one-fifth of the state population.
Yeah.
So what that ends up being is a lot of these bigger businesses, things like Kroger's and Walmart's, Whole Foods, they can't afford to have any stores anywhere other than Jackson. So a lot of these places in the Delta, in the South, North Mississippi, things like that, all of a sudden the only place they have to buy vegetables or to buy any types of groceries is a dollar store. It's a Dollar General. And I don't know if you've ever been in a Dollar General. You're not going to get fresh produce.
Everything's in a box in
there. It's going to be maybe some boxed goods, some processed food, some things that will not spoil. So that's what's kind of where people get stuck between a rock and a hard place. The companies don't want to stock fresh produce because it's a loss leader. You're going to lose money on a good chunk of your produce. End of story. You're going to buy some. About one-third of it's probably either going to go bad, it's not going to be, it's going to be damaged, or it's not going to be sellable in the sense that it looks the way people expect an apple and things to look. So that's your first problem. They don't mind stocking macaroni. They don't mind stocking Lay's potato chips.
Yeah.
They don't go bad.
Yeah.
So they can buy that. It can be 9 months later. They can still sell that bag, and it tastes totally fine. So that's where a lot of these people are kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. They would need to travel more. I think, believe the food, the term for the definition of food desert is if you have to travel more than 30 miles to have any access to fresh produce, which is a big chunk of our state. So these people, it's either McDonald's, or I go pick up some macaroni. I go get some
make the one trip a week to the store and stock the pantry full of a bunch of boxes
and stuff that won't go bad. Yeah. Heck, a lot of people, it's once a month.
Yeah.
They'll make one big trip once a month to Walmart, the one that's 20, 30, 45 minutes down the road, get a bunch of stuff, come back. Well, they're eating Hot Pockets, and they're eating all these different things that have no nutrition. So that's what the other issue with is a lot of the problems with these foods. We hear processed food a lot. Processed food just means food that has been changed in some way to make sure that it's more shelf stable. So that's what you're really talking about when you talk about processed food at all. The issue with that is when you do those things to make something not spoil, you're losing the things that made the food good to begin
with.
Right,
yeah.
So that's where a lot of people end up.
Yeah, it's not natural for a food to not spoil.
Exactly. And that's why the fresh produce and the fresh vegetables and things like that do so much good for us. It's got all those things in it that your body requires to work properly.
Or are there enzymes in the food? Is that what is responsible for the ripening and then rottening of food? Is that all based on enzymatic?
There are some enzymes, but not that's not really what's going on there. A lot of what's going on there is there's things like beta carotenoids. That's just a fancy word for the things that give beets their red color. But what that is it's a specific molecule that is unique only to certain plants. The ones that are gonna think plums. Beets, think carrots even to a degree. Anything that has those red hues, then you have the ones that give you green hues, and you have the ones that give you yellow hues. All of these things, we're not even sure what they all are. That's what's kind of crazy. Like, I think I've mentioned this on here before. But if you ask a scientist, why are fresh carrots good for you? There's not an actual answer. We understand that things like vitamin C are in there and beta carotene are in there, but there's probably another 50,000 unique compounds that we aren't even sure how they work or what happens. The problem is, as soon as you pick that carrot, as soon as you pull that apple off the tree, all those things start to degrade. They're not live. The food is technically starts to die. So that's why over time they go completely bad and they rot and they spoil. That's just the body. That what happens is to that fruit saying, I'm not edible anymore. There's not anything good left here anymore. So that's where it gets kind of tricky, is a lot of these things we don't even fully understand. There's all kinds of different chemicals. Like I've just talked about with just vitamin C, or what we call ascorbic acid, you need 3 or 4 prefactors, cofactors, and postfactors just to make vitamin C active and do what it's supposed to do in the body as far as regulating your immune system, as far as being an antioxidant. So if you just take ascorbic acid by itself, you're missing all the other pieces to the puzzle. It's kind of like a car. An engine's not how a car goes. That's what powers the car. But if you don't have wheels, you don't have a drive shaft, you don't have an axle, you don't have a steering wheel, an engine's not going to do you any good. So that's what the real thing with these fresh foods are, is there's so much other stuff in there. To the point that now, like I said, we don't even understand it.
Well, what you know, we're talking really mostly to Central Mississippi here. I will say my podcast has picked up 2% of listeners in Hong Kong somehow. So,
really?
Konnichiwa or whatever you say over there. The people I see in Central Mississippi now, when you look at like the diabetes crisis, Central Mississippi is hit especially hard too. So people that do have access to these stores and stuff are still making bad choices. One thing I would say that I noticed when I switched to organic and eating more, you know, fresh foods and real foods was that while it was, you know, I buy organic apples only. So if I buy an organic apple over a regular apple, it is a little bit more expensive, sometimes a lot expensive, or a chicken over a non-organic chicken and all that stuff too. But what I also found was I ate less. I mean, not only I felt better, I saved a lot of medical expenses. Matter of fact, I haven't had a nickel of medical expenses now in 13 years. So I've saved that money. But also, you know, when you eat right, you don't eat as much. You're not always craving. So you're not ripping open a new bag of chips, you know, every single day because you just don't crave them.
Well, you make a great point because the other problem with those processed foods are just the ones that don't spoil is they're dead foods.
Yeah.
That's why they don't spoil. That's why I always remind people that it's good if that stuff in your fridge will go bad. That means it still has some type of living active enzymes and things and nutrition in it that you can lose. And that's why the other problem, too, is, like you said, it doesn't matter where you live. There's people that live in New York and they eat terrible food all the time.
Right.
That's because if you make a pizza and you make a spinach salad, the pizza is always going to taste better. If you make macaroni and you make quinoa, the macaroni and cheese is always going to taste better. And that's the problem. These foods aren't real, Mike.
Well, so, and they've got ingredients put in them, too, to addict us to them. I mean, they
monosodium
do a lot
glutamate.
Of, yeah, MSG.
Does not exist in nature.
Right.
It's a man-made chemical.
So these food companies actually experiment with this stuff. I mean, they try to make foods, you know, and I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and I was telling him about MSG, and he said, well, how do I know something's an MSG? I showed him the list. MSG goes by all these crazy
natural
different
flavors.
Yeah, yeast extract and all this different stuff. I said, if you see a bag where it says new bold flavor or anything like that where they try to make the flavor to be really exciting. And
we have chicken and waffle flavored potato chips now.
Yeah,
if you think
right.
They're not getting in and cracking what makes things taste the way they do, we're getting way too good.
So they're not actually blending up organic chicken and, you know, grain-free waffle batter and doing that and sprinkling that on the chips. No, that's all so there's
all
no chicken and no waffles in that stuff. It is a complete chemical cocktail to make that. And they just tweak the chemicals.
They figured out the savory. They figured out the salt. They figured out the protein, the meaty. They figured out all the flavors that go into that. And then they just reproduce those as a chemical specifically that gives you that flavor.
Yeah.
So that's my biggest thing, though, is that's where we're getting – that's not fair. Because the thing is General Mills, Frito-Lay, Coca-Cola, all these huge companies, they have no investment in your health. They have investment in you buy more Coke. You buy more Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Right.
You buy more Cheetos. So the thing is, though, the problem with the way our brains and our biology is set up is when you find these high-calorie foods, you get a huge burst of dopamine. You get
right.
a huge reward. It's like when you smoke a cigarette. It presses the same button. The problem is those things don't exist in nature. So when you try to go eat real foods, they're never going to hit the button like a Cheeto or a Cinnamon Toast Crunch or a Ding Dong Wheel.
At first, but when you make that switch,
right.
You know, sometimes I go on a fast. Man, if you go on if I'll do a 5-day water fast and I come out of that and eat a salad, it is like, oh my gosh, this is the best salad ever. You know what I mean? You can reset that.
Exactly.
You can get off of these chemicals and you will become more attracted to real food. It will taste better. But you're right. You can't go from a Cheeto to a carrot stick and get the same thing that day, but you can tweak that just with some effort.
And unfortunately, this happens in our youngest generation. That's where it always starts. That's the worst part. He's 6. Oh, he's 2. Just
right,
give him that.
Right.
Just give him that. Just give him that. Now you've set him up to never like broccoli. You set him up to never want to eat an asparagus. He has Gushers as a comparison point.
Right, yeah.
He's never going to be okay with that because his brain has now been fooled into thinking, oh, this is what food should taste like.
Right.
Food has never tasted like that. It's
right.
not supposed to taste like that. So that's where we get trapped, Mike.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're number one in obesity, naturally over in Ridgeland. People, get over there. They can help you with that. Doesn't have to be this way. What is a Seinfeld line? They said, George was supposed to be a marine biologist, and she said, "Asking," he said, "Yeah, the what does he say? The blue whale, the largest mammal on Earth. But as George says, he doesn't have to be that way. We're talking to Jordan Townsend, Naturally You in Ridgeland. We'll be right back. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul. You're on your own.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB Hump Day Health segment here with Jordan Townsend from Naturally You. Jordan, what I like about having you in here is that you're a nutritionist and you work for a great group. You got a great business out there in Ridgeland, Naturally You, where you help treat people using whole food supplementation to get them the nutrition that they need to make their body work well. And you can help people with chronic conditions and irritability. I mean, just a whole plethora of things. Once you get the body with proper nutrition, it's amazing how people's health can blossom instead of relying on pharmaceuticals. But what I like about having you in here is that we don't do just an hour-long infomercial for your group.
For
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, which we could do, and I think it would be interesting, but we really tackle some topics. But this is perfect because y'all are actually doing something. And what we're talking about before the break was the fact that Mississippi is the most obese country state in the country. Well, I'm really struggling here. And that it's hard to get those foods. And so, you know, people want the desserts. We've got a sweet tooth. We want to go. It's holiday time now. We want to go have Thanksgiving dinner. We want to eat, go to our Christmas parties and all that stuff. Y'all are actually doing an event and going to be talking to people about ways you can have all of that fun stuff. And this is a point I try to drive home all the time. You can still enjoy your life and eat well. You don't have to be the guy watching the football game while your buddies are eating a bunch of chips and dips and stuff like that, and you're over there with a carrot stick sulking in the corner. You don't have to do that. So what are y'all doing? Y'all have something called Fallibration?
Yeah, we're we've kind of done a version of this ever since we did our open house when we first moved to our new location over there in Ridgeland. But what we're doing is each year we try to, like you just said, is just get a bunch of good recipes and stuff together to get people ready for Thanksgiving and Christmas and all that stuff. And just make you, like you just said, make them aware that, look, you can still eat really good tasting food.
Yes.
And it not be inherently unhealthy for you, which is like you were saying earlier. People just go, oh, well, I'm just going to eat. I got to eat stuffing at Thanksgiving, Jordan. I got to eat pudding. I got to eat this. I got to eat that. Well, hey, that's what we're going to do. So this year we're actually doing soups and dips as our main thing. So just to kind of help, especially since it's kind of getting into soup season, and we're actually going to bake a few of our new grain-free muffin mixes that we got too, just to kind of give people samples to see if they like them.
Yeah.
But what we try to do here with all of these things is they're all going to be either grain-free and gluten-free, and they're going to be hopefully sugar-free. Now, some will have a little bit of sugar in them, like the muffin mixes come with a little bit of added sugar. That's just the company that produces that. But a lot of the ones we're doing, we're going to use organic stuff, we're going to use natural stuff, but we're going to show you how good you can make food.
Right.
That's what we like to do. And then this is just kind of a way to come by.
Hey, well,
no, you go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just want to mention one thing. I don't want to lose this point because this is one of the things. One of the biggest tragedies of the last 20 years that I've seen in Americans' health is the idea of sugar-free with in the grocery store. When you see that label, that means artificial sweeteners.
It means run.
Yes. It means all kinds of problems. And I did the whole maybe last week talking about, you know, sucralose and aspartame and all this other stuff. When you say sugar-free, you mean sweetened naturally with other things.
Yeah, no, super glad you brought us back to that point, because exactly, that's what I tell my clients too. You don't get anything for free in life. That applies to your food, that applies to work, that applies to your relationships. So when you see sugar-free and it still tastes good, there's something going on there. So when we say sugar-free, either we're not going to add sugar to it at all because it may not need it, but also we're going to use those natural artificial sweeteners, which are things like stevia, which people are kind of heard about now, erythritol, which is a form of sugar alcohol, which it tastes sweet, but it can't be absorbed in your colon, so it doesn't raise your blood glucose.
Yeah.
And then the new one on the kind of on the scene is monk fruit, but ironically, monk fruit's probably the most ancient. That comes from China. So that's one they've used in ancient Chinese medicine for hundreds of years.
It's ancient Chinese secret.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It has a severely similar to stevia. It has a sweet taste to it. It's definitely not sugar.
Right.
But there's no calories. It's not anything that your body converts to energy.
Yeah, so you guys have got recipes for desserts too. I mean, so you're talking about you're doing dips and soups right now.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
And you've done desserts before and have recipes for desserts.
Well, last year we kind of called it sweet treats type of thing. And like I said, we do this pretty much every year just to kind of open ourselves up to people, let them come and talk to us and just kind of pop in. That's the thing. You don't have to stay for the entirety of our event. It's just kind of a come in and go as you want to. But yeah, we still have those recipes as well if anyone's ever interested. A lot of them are keto based. So we have things like chocolate mousse. We have lemon bliss balls, all of these different things that taste like a dessert. They taste like they would just be essentially a bunch of sugar. There's no sugar. They're actually almost 100% fat with a little bit of that natural sweetener that we sell.
And for people who are maybe the first time they've ever listened to this and aren't familiar with keto and stuff, these are healthy fats. And so fat doesn't get you fat. This big, I mean, most people here, these are full of fat. They go, oh my
they get
gosh.
Nervous.
My doctor puts me on a low-fat diet. I mean, one of the biggest misses in the history of probably health advice has been this low-fat craze, which has led to obesity, strangely enough.
Right. And your brain is fat, people.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I can say that to you. So you don't want to starve that organ. But what you're doing with these essentially is like a perfect example is the chocolate mousse that's in our little sweet recipe thing. It's three or four different fats combined together with a little cocoa powder, then that little bit of salt and a little bit of that sweetener. Well, what happens is if you just made chocolate mousse standard, it's going to have close to 15 to 30 grams of sugar added to the mousse.
Yeah.
The thing about this is now is when you're eating it, because it's just fat, fat shuts you up. Fat suppresses your appetite.
Right.
You are not going to sit here and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat this mousse because you can't.
Right.
Whereas if you just made chocolate mousse and it's 9:30 and you want a dessert, next thing you know, you're on your second or third pudding cup. You're on your second or third cookie.
And the
that's
other
because
thing,
that's how they work.
Yeah, and the other thing about that too is, you know, when you eat really high sugar foods, particularly on desserts, you know, you'll always hear people go, oh my gosh, this is so rich. The result of eating too much rich food is you feel like crap. You just say, oh my gosh, this is so rich, and you feel terrible. When you eat a high fat food that tastes good, number one, you kind of self, like you say, you self-stop because you just suddenly aren't hungry anymore. But also, even if you overate it a little bit, you don't still have that horrible feeling of just being your stomach just feeling like there's brick in it.
A lot of times the reason you feel that you made a good point on the rich food is because it's the carbs and the fat. You're eating something like cheesecake. You're eating something like fried food. You're eating something like that where you're getting a bunch of the carbs and things that are going to let you keep eating that those French fries and that fried fish and stuff like that. Whereas if you get something that's just fat, you'll get three or four bites in and stop. The reason you feel bad from the rich food is because that's why you didn't overeat the pure fat almost. It's because the body will stop you. It says, hey, this takes a really long time to break down and assimilate. You can't just dump this in like it's going out of style.
Yeah.
Whereas with carbs, instant. That's the fast fuel. The faster you put those Lay's potato chips in, they're glucose within almost 10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So the body says, I got no issue with this. This is easy. So that's what it really is you have a governor built in. The body's not going to let you make it sick.
So this is I just pulled up your email, and everyone needs to go to naturallyyou.fit and, you know, get on their email list. You can
and our
see
Facebook
their events.
Page.
Yeah, what's your Facebook page? Is it
Naturally?
Naturally You. Okay, on Facebook. This is it's going to be next Thursday, November 15th. Is that is next Thursday?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That's us.
Next Thursday from 6 to 7 o'clock. You're at 500 Highway 51. So, you know, and this is the key. If people would learn that you can have the same quality of life, you don't have to sulk. You don't have to deny yourself a ton of stuff. You just make some tweaks, and it's easier now. There's so many ingredients out there, and there's people like y'all. You know, when I first started on this nutrition stuff, there wasn't anybody around here helping me with stuff like that, and there wasn't a big organic section in the store, and things like monk fruit weren't around. I mean, there's just so many things you can use now. So all you got to do is just consciously substitute things and enjoy your life just like you always have, just feel better along the way.
And yeah, the assumption that just because it's gluten-free or it's grain-free, it's going to taste bad. That we just have this instant pushback to anything different. We get so rigid in our tastes and our philosophies and, I'm not eating gluten-free.
Yeah.
I want my food to have some flavor.
Right.
So, well, hey, man, I've had gluten-free and actually grain-free stuffing for the last 6 Thanksgivings. You would not be able to tell a difference.
Yeah.
You're probably not a good cook. That's what's going on.
Well,
so that's why we're here to educate. We're just here to teach people, hey, look, get this gluten-free flour, not this one.
Right.
That one's better. So, yeah, you picked a bad brand. That's not the thing's fault. You picked a bad thing you started with.
Yeah, we got to go to a break real quick. But one thing on gluten-free that I think I've kind of noticed, though, and you have to be careful of when you go buy, and again, we're getting back into prepackaged processed foods and stuff. You have to be careful in the stores when you buy. If you just make the decision, well, I'm going to go gluten-free. I want to try that. I've heard good things about it. You have to be careful. A lot of times things that don't have gluten in them, don't they give them a ton of other stuff in there, add a lot of sugar to make them taste better?
Well, a lot of times, again, a gluten-free cookie is probably the example you're thinking of. Cookie's going to have a lot of sugar in it regardless.
Yeah, chocolate chip cookie.
It's a cookie.
Right.
So, yeah, most of the time, not really. They're not really adding anything. They just got to make it taste better a lot of times. The biggest problem with gluten is everything's crumbly. You grab it, it just turns to freaking dust in your hand because it doesn't have the glue holding it together.
Right.
They're using rice flour, but that's why we never preferred rice flour. We've used wheat flour for thousands of years, but that's also why we're having issues with it.
Right, right. Okay. All right, got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a couple things here. One is, don't you have you got a list of like foods that people think are healthy that are not healthy? And then
breakfast foods, my lord.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day. That is the mantra. I probably eat breakfast maybe 2 to 3 times a month, and that's
right.
Just my lifestyle. And I tell you what, I feel fantastic. So anyway, we'll talk about those things with Jordan Townsend, Naturally You. We'll be back in a minute.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No, bad. No, wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I bailed you out when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, talking to Jordan Townsend from Naturally You. Okay, Jordan, what were we going to get into here? How about breakfast is the most important meal of the day? Now, I, since getting on to, particularly since I got on to this ketogenic diet, or I found bulletproof coffee. So every morning I start my day with a big old cup of organic coffee, with organic coconut oil and organic butter, grass-fed if I can find it. I got to say, my butter's probably not the quality I want in there. And then some organic stevia in there. I blend that up. Most people think that is going to give them the runs when I tell them what I have for breakfast every day. But it does not at all. All of that fat, and especially with the coconut oil. It can? Because I know
can.
A lot of people who do that and don't find any problems with that. Because it sounds like a very slippery drink. But anyway.
Definitely the outlier, but I actually have had some clients that has happened to specifically.
Yeah.
And a lot of what it is, and just to explain it to you, what's going on really more than anything, is one, coffee's a laxative, so that's going to make you go regardless. But with all that fat in there, the problem, it kind of acts like bile, because that's what bile actually does in your gallbladder. It stores the fat-soluble things in there. So a lot of these toxins and junk that's stuck in our gut are fat-soluble. So with all that fat moving through, plus something like coffee that's actually going to force it out, a lot of times that's what happens. These people will get these crazy episodes of just like almost blowouts, but it's not bad. Your body's literally taking that junk, sticking it in that fat that's moving through and taking it out of you.
So most people that I know that drinks bulletproof coffee, they don't have that problem. It's probably because their system's already fairly clean anyway. They're eating pretty good food most of the time anyway.
I've never really had that experience with it. And like, that's the thing. Maybe every now and then I'll have some that's like, okay, well, this one is pushing through big time. But yeah, I mean, I'm like you. I've been on this now almost it's over a year at least. It's got to be close to two, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, just to throw that back, like you said, we've been sold so much misinformation. You know, dairy's on the food pyramid. Dairy's not an essential food. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Depends on what you're after.
Right.
Because it is, of course, you want to, what their idea of it is the brain runs on glucose. So if you got to have that first thing in the morning to give your brain fuel to work. Well, for thousands of years, people didn't have food all the time, so
right. Their
brains still worked. They still survived. That's what ketosis is. That's what all this other stuff we're starting to now use in mainstream now is just your body will use alternative fuel if you make it. So what you're kind of doing, and my favorite study with the intermittent fasting, a lot of people say, oh, it's dangerous.
Now, intermittent fasting, explain that. That is really putting like all of your eating within a food window of like 6 to 8 hours. Like
generally.
Like maybe from noon, maybe you have lunch, and then you have a dinner at 7 o'clock or something like that, but by 8 o'clock you stop eating. So you're not eating between 8 p.m. and then noon the next day. So 16 hours of the day, you're not eating anything, and you keep that eating window. That's intermittent fasting, isn't it?
Yeah, and true hardcore intermittent fasting, if you really look it up, the true version is noon to 6. They give themselves 18 hours every day where they're living off of their own body. And the thing is
can that slide anywhere in the day? Like if you don't want noon to 6, you can make it 2 to 8.
I actually talked to a lady the other day. She couldn't not eat breakfast. So she just stopped eating, I think she said, it was 2-ish in the afternoon.
So she eats a breakfast and then she stops eating in the afternoon. That would be tough.
From 2 all the way.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you're getting the same thing in. And
right.
the biggest problem, too, the reason that 6 o'clock is very important to that is you don't want to stop eating at 8:30. You don't want to stop eating at 9:30, 10:30, right before you go to bed.
Right.
So even though you've intermittent fasted all day, that excess calories you get into, the body's going to save it as fat. If you don't burn it off or you don't do anything else to move, the body says, look, hey, if you get into extra, I save it for you. That's
what
why
is
we have,
that, about 2 hours before going to bed? Is it longer than that?
A little more if you could. I tell most people, look, shoot for a good 3.
Yeah.
A good 3 hours is plenty of time from when you last ate. So that put about 7.
And what would you say the average American is probably 30 minutes before they go to bed? They're eating that last snack or that last dessert or something like that.
Yeah, but they're eating dinner. 6:30, 7, and by that time they're even getting that last midnight snack in at 9, 10, even 11 sometimes. So yeah.
So what's the benefit to intermittent fasting of keeping just a small window of feeding during the day? Mine is between probably 2 and 8 is what I do a day. And sometimes because of this coffee, I'm just not even hungry until
dinner.
It's
crazy. No one believes you cannot eat and not be hungry.
Yeah.
And that's what I try to tell them. When you do the coconut oil coffee or keto coffee, Bulletproof coffee's got all these fancy names, so we can't call anything just one single name anymore. Yeah. The thing is, what you're doing, that's what I try to explain to people. I said, I'm not going to just tell you not to eat and be miserable. I'm telling you how you can trick your biology and make it not feel hungry while you just go throughout your day. That's the real key to this. Well, the main benefit to it, from what I've seen just off the science, what's going on, is more than anything, the number one thing that dictates length of life, quality of life, everything is calorie count. The more calories you eat, the sicker you get, the faster you die. Because all of these metabolic processes have to run. The less calories you eat, guess what, Mike? The longer you live, the less issues you have.
Yeah.
So that's what they found, and specifically in mice models are what they do this the most in. The ones where they fed them 50% of what they fed the other group, they lived almost twice as long.
Yeah, right.
Just like that.
Well, you know, there was a study, too, on some kind of a worm. I can't remember, a mealworm, a hooker. I can't remember what it was. It was some kind of worm that they use in science that it has a short lifespan, but they actually did fasting, like true fasting with these worms. They double the life expectancy of the worms that underwent some level of fasting, which is just pretty fascinating stuff.
Which is interesting, too, though. Again, too much calories, that translates to our children, too. That's the thing. A lot of times, that's why bigger people have bigger kids. You're literally passing on the genetic predisposition of what's going on with you right now. That's why you look in a lot of these other countries, too. The reason they have all these people are so hardy. I like the Vikings as a good example here, is it's tough. So they're literally being made as a person when their food is low. There's not a lot of vitamin D.
Right.
It's cold. It's hard. So the body in that predisposition time says, look, we've got to make this person more hardy, more adaptable, or they're not going to make it. But if you're overeating, you're not really exercising, you're not doing any of that stuff, body goes, this person must be wealthy.
Yeah.
They must be royalty.
Everything's good. We don't need to even do anything.
So the body comes out less prepared from that sense either. So there's a lot of stuff going on there, too, that we don't even understand about how food truly modifies our genes before we even get here.
What, when they talk about, just in my own life, and I like what I do with coffee. I mean, it saves me time in the morning, and I don't, you know, because if I was going to have a breakfast, I'd want it to be a good breakfast of, you know, cooked eggs and bacon or thing, you know, with some proteins, and that takes a lot of time. I love this coffee, and I'm not hungry, and I don't miss it. Is it different? Do some people need a breakfast? Because I know some people who just cannot get hungry during the day, and they just, is that an individual thing, or is intermittent fasting something that can kind of work for just about anybody?
It can work for just about anybody. And that's why I tell my clients, it's kind of interesting. I say, look, if you're hungry, eat. You don't have to do 6 to 12 to
right,
6.
Right.
I say, look, if you, because some of my clients say, Jordan, I'm not hungry at noon. What do I do?
Yeah.
What do you mean, what do you do? Keep going. Some people go to 2 or 3, then they'll get a little something.
Yeah, that's me.
And which is fine. That's the thing is, you start to be able to listen to your body, because what we associate with hunger is blood sugar spikes and falls. That's what happens on a high-carb diet, the traditional American diet. You grab your bagel, you grab your biscuit, you grab all these foods. Your blood sugar is going to skyrocket. About 9 a.m., 10 a.m., what happens, everybody? We're hungry. Well, you're not hungry. Your blood sugar is just falling. When you're on this, your blood sugar is as stable as it can be. Your blood ketones are going through the roof.
Yeah.
So your body's having to access and turn this fat into ketones. Once those calories run out, then your body turns on your actual fat. That's all you're doing.
Well, we eat so much in Western society, and people don't realize it, but with, you know, hundreds of thousands of years of human evolution, it's never been this way. We eat on a schedule. We believe that we're supposed to have breakfast, lunch, dinner with a couple of snacks. You know what I mean? So it's
right.
Like when you get that break, everybody gets up from their desk at noon and they go out and they get something deep because it's noon. They might not even be hungry. And same way in the morning, they get up and they just eat a bowl of high carb, high sugar cereal to start the day.
And like I've told you on here, the biggest lie we've been sold is 3 square meals a day.
Yeah.
That never existed before. But
right.
The problem is with us eating all these high carbs, we feel hungry 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 times a day because all the stuff we're eating is burned up so fat. It's jet fuel.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, I'll attest to this. When I come off of keto, when I have my weekend where I just go nuts and I go to the Mexican restaurant and I'll eat an entire basket of the chips or whatever, man, those carbs make me crave more carbs. And then those make me crave sweets. And then the sweets make me crave a little bit more carbs. I mean, it is just a battle. But when I don't do that, I don't miss any of it. It just, none of it bothers me.
Yeah,
at all.
One of my clients is actually disappointed in you, Mike. He said, I can't believe he eats that good all the time and he just has one of those crazy weekends. What's wrong with him? I said, he's human.
Yeah.
You got to understand that too. But that's what the interesting part about that is. Even when you go back to those foods, I'll never not drink sweet tea. I'll never not like ding dongs. You eat them and it just does not satisfy
you.
Yeah,
it's not the same.
Because the body goes, I'm used to you eating the stuff I want, not the stuff that tastes good.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. All right, got to take a quick break talking to Jordan Townsend, Naturally You. We will be right back. Stay with us. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424. Every time you come in, Jordan, we run long on everything. There's always so much to talk about. Let's talk about, real quick, give me 30 seconds. For the person out there that's just maybe starting to hear information, they're starting to realize there's natural strategies they can use to improve their health. In about 30 seconds, what would you just tell somebody that you met on the street or in an elevator that said, what can I start doing? You know, not a radical change or anything, but just some mental tweaks to make to start getting your health on better footing.
Super easy. Get the simple grains and processed foods out. Replace them with whole, live, living leafy green veggies. That's the first and easiest thing you can do. Get rid of the pasta and the rice and the corn and the wheat. Get that stuff out. And get in beets and carrots and squash and zucchini and broccoli. That it's not even that hard.
And you can even find recipes. I love zucchini chips. I'll make those things.
Just bake them on real low.
Yeah, so you can actually make snack foods out of those things that are really good.
Use a spiralizer. Make zucchini noodles.
Yeah.
Then make your spaghetti just like you were going
I can never wring all the water out of there. My spaghetti's always real watery when I do zucchini noodles. I need to figure that out. But anyway, so just this change to just real food. I mean, just try to get some of the boxes and bags.
Eat it the way it looks when it comes out of the ground.
Yeah.
You cannot mess up. That's why I try to tell you, there's no special diet. There's nothing magical about this. This is how people have always eaten. Let's eat like that.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, unfortunately, we're just about out of time for today. Let's talk about where you guys are. Y'all are at 500. This is Naturally You. And just explain real quickly what y'all do, how you would describe what you do for people out there.
Yeah, so we do. We use applied kinesiology, muscle testing, to figure out exactly which nutrition and what organs in your body need the attention. So not just what vitamin, not just what mineral, maybe what specific liver support, what specific thyroid support. Why isn't your body working properly? That's what we're going to hopefully figure out. Not just, hey, take a bunch of these supplements, come back and see me in 6 months. Hey, no.
Try to target nutrition.
What do you have to do? What do we have to address on you and correct to get you to feel better? Hopefully in the shortest amount of time and the least amount of stuff possible. That's what we really are trying to do, is not just, we're not broad stroke anything. We just want to figure out exactly what do I have to fix? Because if it's just your thyroid, we're not going to talk about anything else.
Right. And so you do this not using pharmaceuticals or anything like that, but you use it with whole food supplements.
And some herbs, but mostly whole food supplements. Yeah. Probably at least 80% of it's just food.
Right. Okay. All right. And Tuesday nights from 6:15 to 7 o'clock, y'all are still doing your free things where people can come in and hear more. I mean, an extended explanation of what you're talking about.
Come
right
to our Tuesday night, and that's when you can kind of, we'll talk to you about what we do. We'll show you what we do, and we'll even let you feel the actual testing that we do on you that night. And hopefully here soon, it's not going to be completely free anymore for your first two visits. We're actually just going to give another reduced discount on that just because we're getting too busy, Mike.
Yep.
We got too many people coming to see us.
That's what happens when you're on the Mike Madison Show. The people just flock in there. All right. And your website is naturallyyou.fit, naturallyyou.fit,
yes,
or they can contact you 601-790-2790. The beautiful thing is people who listen to this show know that you know what you're talking about, and there's even others that are there that are similarly educated. So that's Jordan Townsend, Naturally You in Ridgeland, 500 Highway 51. Go see them. Thanks, Jordan. Thanks for coming in.
Come see us next Thursday.
All right. We'll see you next time. Thanks, Jordan. Bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.